प्रेम सिख श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासि गौर भक्त वृंद की जय। श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोपीनाथ श्याम कुंद राधा कुंद गिरि गोवर्धन की जय। श्री वृंदावन धाम की जय। श्री नवद्वीप मायापुर धाम की जय। श्री जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की जय। गंगमयी की जय। यमुनामयी की जय। भक्ति देवी की जय। तुलसी देवी की जय। समवेद भक्त वृंद की जय। गौ प्रेमानंदी। ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज। ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज। ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज। All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga.
Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Advaryuna Huyamane.
Advaryuna Huyamane.
Deva Utpetur Ojasa.
Deva Utpetur
Vibhavo nama tapasa, somam prapta sahasrashaha, advaryuna huyamane, deva utpetur ojasa, Bhavo nama tapasa, somam prapta sahasrashaha, advaryuna huyamane, deva utpetur ojasa, Bhavo nama tapasa, Somam prapta sahasra saha.
Somam prapta sahasra saha.
Advaryuna huyamane.
Advaryuna huyamane.
Deva utpetur ojasa.
Deva utpetur ojasa.
Vishabho nama tapasa.
Vishabho nama tapasa.
Demigods,
Utpetu,
became manifested.
O Jasa,
with great strength, Ribhava, the Ribhus, Nama, named, Tapasa, by penance, Somam, Soma, Prapta,
having achieved,
Sahasrasha,
Sahasrasha,
by the thousands.
When Bhrigu Muni offered oblations in the fire, immediately many thousands of demigods named Ribhus became manifested. All of them were powerful, having achieved strength from Soma, the moon.
Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada.
It is stated here that many thousands of demigods named Ribhus became manifested because of the oblations offered in the fire and the chanting of the hymns of the Yajurveda. Brahmanas like Bhrigu Muni were so powerful that they could create such powerful demigods simply by chanting the Vedic mantras. Vedic mantras are still available, but the chanters are not. By chanting Vedic mantras or chanting the Gayatri or Rig Mantra, one can attain the results one desires. In the present age of Kali, it is recommended by Lord Chaitanya that simply by chanting Hare Krishna, one can attain all perfection.
Om Agyan Tibidandasya Jnananjana Chalakaya Chakshuru Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tathaiśva Padantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Guru Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Mitham Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahakana Lalita Sri Vishakam Mitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate
Gopesha
Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priyai Vansha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripasindubhya Evacha Patihanam Bhavanibhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Vasati Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
When Bhrigu Muni offered oblations in the fire, immediately many thousands of demigods named Ripus became manifested. All of them were powerful, having achieved strength from Soma, the moon. I am very grateful to be here. Sri Vrindavan Dham. I'm very grateful to all of you for being with us today. We are reading today from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 4, entitled Sati Quits Her Body, Text 33. In this section of Srimad Bhagavatam, many crucial lessons are revealed to us. Daksha is described as having magnificent qualities, extremely learned, very powerful. His form was beautiful. In fact, he was so exalted that great rishis, sages, devas, when he walked into his assembly, they all stood up. But his son-in-law, Lord Shiva, immersed in meditation on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, was oblivious to his surroundings. He did not stand up. Daksha felt insulted. Gita tells, on a material platform, for one who is honored, dishonor is worse than death. And it also shows the nature of the material mind. Even if you have so much, if even one single thing is not right, you can't appreciate anything you have. You become obsessed with the miseries of that one situation. Instead of enjoying the prestige of having all the demigods and all the sages and all the rishis glorifying you, standing up to receive you, he was miserable because one person was sitting down, Lord Shiva. Just like if your whole body is so healthy, perfect health, and then you're walking and one thorn pierces into your foot. Here in Vrindavan, you may have that experience. Then are you thinking about all the nice parts of your body? Even though the amount of space that pierces your foot, it's maybe a hundredth of an inch, right? It's just like this. And your body's so big comparatively. But your entire consciousness is focused only on that little point right like this. It's material nature. One little thing could create so much problem. And Daksha lost so much control of his senses and his mind that he lashed out and blasphemed Lord Shiva. In certain ways, he was doing it for his own prestige, that everyone is seeing that Shiva didn't stand up. At least that's what he's thinking. Probably nobody even noticed. And nobody even expected him to stand up. But in his own mind, he's imagining like this. So I have to prove to everyone why his not standing up was due to his disgraceful character. It cannot possibly have anything to do with any shortcoming of myself. Lord Shiva, he just got up and left. He couldn't care less. Anyway, so many things happened after that. But Sati, after some time, she saw so many people going to Daksha's house for a yajna, her father. And she asked Lord Shiva, I want to go also. He said, I don't think you should go, because your father's not very favorable to me, and you, because of your love for me, it will be very difficult if he doesn't honor you properly or honor me. But she understood her sisters and her mother and her cousins and her aunties and her uncles and her friends and all associates, and there'll be good entertainment, and everything is there. So she felt very bad. I want to go. So she went. Lord Shiva sent some guards to go with her. And mother and sisters greeted her very nicely, but nobody else, because they were afraid of Daksha, nobody else greeted her. Because they were thinking, what will Daksha think? And Daksha didn't pay any attention to her. She was so insulted. She wasn't insulted, but she considered it such an insult to her husband, Lord Shankar, that right in front of everybody, she started blasting against her father. Now, he's such an intelligent man who knows the Vedas so well. He could have saved us so much trouble if he just looked at Sati and said, Hari Bol. That's all he had to do. But the false ego is so illogical. It's so stubborn. And it blinds us. Totally blinds us from the reality of what we're doing to ourselves and to the world. Can you imagine how miserable it must have felt in front of all of these exalted people? His daughter is blasting against him. That's what she did. She said many things, but one thing that's interesting, he said that Lord Shiva's nature is he doesn't find fault with anyone. Lord Shiva's nature is he sees whatever tiny little bit of good is in any living being and magnifies it in order to make it grow. He's not concerned with the faults. That's the quality of a great soul. But my father, he's just the opposite. Where there's no faults at all, he's seeing faults. And that's all he sees. Even in such a great magnanimous personality as Lord Shiva. Now previously, when Daksha was horribly speaking against Lord Shiva, many of the things he was talking about were literally facts. But he was giving such gross misinterpretation of those facts. This is how clever people try to manipulate other people's minds. He's talking about Shiva being filthy, how he puts ashes from crematorium on him, how he wears skulls. Vaishnavanam Yata Shambhu, how he associates with ghouls and and ghosts and bhutas and so many other strange beings. Now, the scriptures glorify him for all these things. And the Vaishnavas glorify him for all these things. All the things that are attributes of Lord Shiva, he was just taking them out of context. Taking truths and presenting them in an untruthful way. And in this way, he was finding faults. Sati could not tolerate this. My husband doesn't find fault in anyone, even the worst people. He'll find some little bit of good and try to magnify and expand that good in them. And you are just the opposite. You're showing faults where there are no faults at all. Srila Prabhupada explains that Lord Shiva was like a honeybee. He's always looking for nectar. But Daksha was like a fly, always looking for something to criticize. Sati was outraged to the extent that she said, because this body has come out of your body, I cannot tolerate it. I will end my life. And she saw that she sat facing the north in the yogic position, and by her mystical powers, her yogic siddhis, she expanded the fire element within her body, and right in front of everyone, her body burst into ashes. Now Lord Shiva's followers who were guarding her were extremely angry. And they came to attack Daksha. But Bhrigu Muni, one of the most powerful of all the sages, he chanted mantras and offered some oblation to the sacred fire, and through those mantras he created the Ribhus. They are demigod warriors, extremely powerful. Many of them. And they all attacked Lord Shiva's followers. They created havoc. So that's where we've come to today. It's very interesting to see how this envy is so powerful. The very foundational condition of the entire material existence is envy. In one lecture, Srila Prabhupada explains that jealousy or envy is when we cannot tolerate somebody having something that we want. It's just the opposite of a Vaishnava. Bhagavad Gita, Krishna tells Arjuna, you can understand these teachings because you are not envious. Shukadeva Goswami tells Parikshit Maharaj that you can hear this Bhagavatam because you are not envious. It is an essential quality. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita in purports, Prabhupada states it so strongly. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is glorifying Haridas Thakur or Sanatan Goswami as if he had five mouths, all the devotees were happy. They love to see another devotee getting glorified. They love to see another devotee being empowered. They love to see another devotee getting the mercy of the Lord. The one who feels uncomfortable about that, it's due to envy. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu glorified Vasudev Datta as if he had thousands of mouths, and devotees were very happy. And in the garden during the Ratha Yatra, Aitota, where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu embraced King Prataparudra and revealed to him his divine opulences, all the devotees were so happy. And there Prabhupada said that if one is envious, one is not a Vaishnava. It's very easy to call ourselves Vaishnava. And there are different levels of Vaishnava. Sometimes anyone who believes in Vishnu as the Supreme Personality of Godhead is a Vaishnava. Anyone who chants the holy name even once is a Vaishnava. These things are true. But Srila Prabhupada is giving a more deeper understanding. He said, one who is not envious is a Vaishnava. One who is envious not a Vaishnava. And envy is so... What is envy? It is an assault to our false ego. Because our false ego, we want to feel ourselves to be the center of existence. We want to be the proprietor, we want to be the enjoyer, we want to be the controller on different levels. And when we see that this is being frustrated by someone else, become envious. And it blocks our intelligence. And at that point, so many logical, rational, reasonable excuses we can manufacture to support our envy. That's the way the false ego works. But there's a problem. As long as there's envy in the heart, Krishna in the heart, even if you convince the world of all of your justifications, you won't convince Krishna. And the reaction will come. And this is what's happening to Daksha. Now, because of this, because he was such a powerful soul, but because he was envious and he was offensive, see what havoc he's creating. It's really a very mysterious situation. Because there's great souls on both sides. Bhrigu Muni is not... Well, let's not even talk about what he's not. Let's talk about what he is. This is Vrindavan, so I know. He's a great soul. He has Krishna's footprint on him. Bhrigu Muni is one of the greatest of the rishis and the sages throughout the Puranas, the Bhagavatam. He's a star. And he's on the side of Daksha. It's like in the battlefield of Kurukshetra, one of the greatest Mahajans, Bhishma, was on the side of the Kurus. So we see how these aparads, these offenses, can create such havoc and such misunderstandings among even good people. So Bhrigu Muni chants these mantras and these ribbus come out. And they're actually demigod warriors. And thousands of them. Not just one or two, thousands of ribbus. And they very much defeat Lord Shiva's people. What happens is Lord Shiva hears about it, and he comes to save the day. And we're going to see what happens in the coming verses, which I will save that information for the next speakers. But in substance, we find that by chanting of a mantra, Bhrigu Muni is able to overcome all of his opposition. This is the power of mantra. But because there was Vaishnava Parad, even the mantra is not going to work. It's appearing to work for the time being, but in due source of time, because of this Vaishnava Parad, even mantras cannot save you. This Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has taught. There are 10 offenses against the holy name. The number one offense is to blaspheme devotees who are dedicated to serving the Lord. And if we're committing offenses and chanting the holy names, the holy names are not going to be able to save us from those offenses. Narottam Das Thakur prays that if one commits grievous sins, the holy names will purify one. Even if one offends the Lord, chanting the holy names will purify one. But if one offends a Vaishnav, it's not going to work. Only that Vaishnav can save you by forgiving you. And even if the Vaishnav forgives you, that's not enough. You have to deeply want forgiveness. When Gopal Chapala offended Srivas Thakur, Srivas Thakur forgave him immediately. But still he had to suffer until he repented and from the core of his heart actually begged for forgiveness. At that point, he was rescued. And then by chanting the holy name, he could become a pure devotee without any obstruction. So this is the power of the holy name. This is the power of a mantra. The power of the mantra, it can defeat all enemies. But if we offend Vaishnavas, even if we defeat all enemies, eventually, we are going to be defeated. Srila Prabhupada ends this purport. In the present age of Kali, it is recommended by Lord Chaitanya that simply by chanting Hare Krishna, one can attain all perfection. If we chant properly, all the enemies will be defeated. And the greatest enemies are the enemies within. Lust, envy, anger, arrogance, greed, illusion. These are six enemies that are within the heart. And as Bhrigu Muni defeated all his enemies by chanting mantra, by chanting the holy names of the Lord, specifically the Maha Mantra, we can defeat all the enemies within our heart. That's the power of Krishna. Om apavitra pavitra va sarvavastam gatopiva yasmare pundarikaksham sabhaya vyantarasuchi. Because Krishna is all pure. And Krishna is not different than his name. Cleanses our heart, purifies, destroys all the enemies, transforms them into friends. That is Krishna's power. Srimad Bhagavatam, we read about how Krishna killed so many demons. And that same Krishna is now within his name to do the same work. One such demon was Agasura. He was really envious, seriously envious, for several reasons. One is Krishna had already killed his elder brother, Bakasura, and his elder sister, Putana, and he was angry. He wanted revenge. Again, when you're clouded over by illusion, he wasn't thinking that they attacked Krishna and tried to kill him. He was only a baby, hardly 1 or 2 days old, and she was a monstrous demon that came to kill him. He's not thinking like that. He's just thinking, this person killed my sister, and she's a girl. How could he kill a girl like my sister? And he's not thinking that Bakasura just happened to swallow Krishna and try to kill him when he was just a little boy. He appeared as a crane that was as big as a mountain. He's thinking how immoral, how demoniac Krishna is for killing his relatives. So this is the way human beings can be, and this is the way other beings can be also. We try to rationalize everything from the and justify reality according to our own perspective. And when the intelligence is corrupted by this type of ego, the intelligence can go wild and give all kinds of explanations and justifications and everything else. And also Kamsa. Kamsa ordered Agasura to kill Krishna. And he was ready and willing. So he went to Vrindavan. But what really got him terribly angry is he saw how happy Krishna and the cowherd boys were. They were only 5 years old. That morning, Krishna woke up especially early, blew his buffalo horn, calling his friends, and they all came running. Yashodamai dressed him so nicely with his cowherd boy clothes, and with flowers, and with jewels, kunjamala. And all the gopas came. Prabhupada said each one had a flute, a horn, and a stick. Buffalo horn and a stick for herding the cows. And each one had a lunch pack also given by their mothers. They went out into the forest and began to decorate themselves with leaves and fruits and the various colorful dyes from the soil of Vrindavan, and with peacock feathers, and played. So many games they played. One would see Krishna at a distance looking at the beautiful scenery of Vrindavan and say, I will touch Krishna first. And another would say, no, no, not you. I will touch Krishna first. And another would say, no, no, just you wait and see. I will touch Krishna first. And they were all running to Krishna. And by Krishna's arrangement, every one of them can think that I touched Krishna first. Krishna harmonizes everything. And they were all running to Krishna. This is bhakti. Everyone running to Krishna. And this is transcendental competition. Without envy, everybody's running as fast as they can to Krishna inspires everyone else to run faster than they can to Krishna. And everyone's running, just gazing upon Krishna, fully immersed in Krishna.
Thank you.
and they were imitating the animals. They would hear the cawing or the singing of cuckoos, and the boys would exactly make sounds just like cuckoos. They'd hear the cawing of the peacock, and they would call like the peacock. Then they'd see the peacocks dancing, the peahen and the peacock, and they would dance exactly like them. They'd see a monkey sitting, and a boy would sit right next to the monkey. The monkey would get mad at him and show a face and show his teeth. And the little cowherd boy would put his face right in front of the monkey's face and do the exact same thing and show a very angry face and show his teeth. Then the monkey would jump up. Then the boy would grab the monkey's tail. And the monkey would get scared and jump up into a tree. And the boy, just like a monkey, would jump up into the tree and hop from branch to branch. Another monkey would start... would go right next to a frog and hop just like the frog. The frog would get scared and jump in the water, and the boy would, just like a frog, jump in the water after. Then come out, and then he'd see his reflection in the water, and the cowherd boy would start chastising the reflection in his water and start to imitate the reflection of himself. Then they'd go to a well, and they'd scream into the well, and when the echo would come, the boys would hear that echo and they would start saying bad words about the echo. They'd start talking to the echo, and they'd all laugh and laugh and laugh. And this way they were so happy, simply playing. And one boy would steal another boy's gopa's lunchbox. And as you know, prasad is a very important part of our life. So stealing lunchbox is very serious. So the boy would run after it, and then the gopa would throw the lunchbox to another boy, and then that boy whose lunchbox was stolen would run toward him, and then they'd throw it to another and another, and the boy would cry, and then finally they'd give the lunchbox back. But not before they all laughed. Everyone laughing. And this way Krishna and Balaram and the gopas were having such wonderful, wonderful times every day. And on this particular day, Agasura saw them laughing and playing and enjoying in such a happy mood. And this was so painful to his heart. He could not tolerate seeing other people happy. Created a storm in his mind. Now Vaishnava is paradukaduki. That means another person's happiness is my happiness. And another person's sorrow is my sorrow. That's a Vaishnava. But Agasura is very the opposite. To see other people miserable was his happiness, especially if he was the cause of it. It just showed his prowess. But to see other people happy made him miserable. Because his mentality is, I'm the one who should be happy. Why should anyone else be happy? When you're empty, when you're lonely, when you're unsatisfied within, then all these things affect you so much. So Agasura, he wanted to go beyond his mission. Putana just wanted to kill Krishna. Bakasura just wanted to kill Krishna. Kamsa just sent him to kill Krishna. But Agasura was so envious to see all the Brijavasis so happy that he decided, I want to kill every single person in all of Brajbhumi. And he decided how. By his mystical prowess, Mahima, which is the mystic city where you can become is very big, he took the form of a serpent and expanded himself to be 8 miles. miles long, opened his mouth, and his mouth, the top part was in the sky, the bottom part was on the ground. And the cowherd boys, they looked at this gigantic serpent. And first of all, they were thinking, this must be a big statue. But then they smelled the breath, which was pretty abominable. And they were thinking, this is not a statue. Others were thinking, this is just one of those beautiful, picturesque scenes of Vrindavan. Others are saying, it looks to me like a live snake. And look at his mouth. His tongue is like a highway. And his mouth is like a massive cave. And his eyes were red hot with envy. And one boy started running away when he realized this is a massive snake. And the other boy started laughing at him and chastising him. Why are you running away? Why are you afraid? And then he came back. Social pressure. Somebody said, this looks like a gigantic snake that has come to devour us. And another cowherd boy said, let's go in. Krishna will protect us. And they were laughing. And they all, clapping their hands and dancing, they rushed into the mouth of Agasura. And Krishna, just at that point, realized that this massive snake who wanted to destroy everyone in Vrindavan, he came to swallow the children. And right when he was thinking like that, they all ran inside. Now, Agasura's plot was he knew that the children were the life and soul to the adults. And if all the children die, the adults will all die. In this way, he will exterminate the entire race of the Brijavasis through this one swallow. And as they all went inside, Agasura kept his mouth open, waiting for Krishna. He's the one that killed my brother and my sister. Krishna was thinking how to kill him now, because all my friends are inside of him. How to kill him and not harm them who are in him. He knew exactly, but he's thinking this way for his pastime. And then he entered into the mouth, and Agasura closed. And it was pitch dark in there. And there was no proper ventilation. All the children fell unconscious. Krishna, because we don't find in any of Krishna's leelas that Krishna expands himself. Yes, when Putana grew really big, she grew what, 12 miles in size, and he was still baby little Gopal on her, like. Because if he grew like Vamana Dev or Narasimha Dev, then it would interfere with Yashoda, Nanda, Gopa, Gopis, with their understanding, with their loving relationship with him. He just stayed the way he was. When Yashoda Mai went to put that rope around Krishna, there was meters and meters and meters and dozens of meters of rope tied together, but Krishna's waist remained exactly the same. Didn't expand. That way Yashoda Mai would just see him as her little boy. So ordinarily, he always kept his same form exactly. as a little delicate gopa, when he wrestled with any of these asuras. But now nobody could see him, because he was inside the serpent and all his friends were unconscious. So he took the opportunity and grew, and grew, and really grew, until he blocked all the air from Agasura to breathe. Agasura, what could he do? Krishna was inside. Now these types of pythons, they have very powerful digestive systems. Even the little pythons in the world today, they're actually amazing creatures. They wrap around an animal that might be twice their size, three times their size, four times their size. They expand their mouth huge and swallow it after it's, you know, dead. And then this animal goes on their body, and their body gets, and by their digestive power, they have these muscles or whatever it is, and it just crushes them, it smashes them. Well, you can imagine Agasura, he had all these powers millions of times more than a python in this world. And with all his strength from within, he went to smash Krishna in the gopas. But as he was contracting, Krishna was expanding. And there was a competition. Contraction, expansion. Krishna became so big. Agasura was somehow desperately trying to breathe, but he couldn't breathe. And finally, his life air had to come out somehow or other. But there was nowhere to come out. So it burst through the top of his head. And his soul, his jivatma, came out with his life air through the top of his head. He went into the sky like a light. The demon was dead. His mouth flung open. Krishna simply glanced upon the gopas and brought them back to consciousness. And they didn't even know anything happened, hardly. And they just saw the beautiful form of Krishna. And he led them, he herded like the calves. He would herd them out, you know, go out, go out. And they all ran outside into the light. And the last person to come out was Krishna. And that light merged right into his body. Now, according to our acharyas, Agasura, even though he was so envious, the gopas were such well-wishers. They liked him. They thought he was fun. So they were inside of him having such a good time. Because they were so non-envious. Even somebody's coming to kill him, you're giving us a good time, and we get to see Krishna do another nice thing. So because of their happiness inside him, before he died, he actually appreciated them. His envy disappeared. And Krishna was inside him too. He was purified. When Krishna and the gopas were inside, he actually had a few seconds where he really liked them. He appreciated them. Their happiness gave him some happiness. And because he died in a favorable mood, he didn't just get impersonal liberation. He went back to the spiritual world. So that's Krishna's power. Nama Chintamani Krishna's Chaitanya Rasmitra. Krishna is not different than his name. When we remember Krishna in our hearts, Krishna's personally there. And just like Agasura, if we can somehow or other remember Krishna in a favorable way, especially, how much we become purified. Whoever we are, whatever we've done. Kalikale Namarupe Krishna Avatar. Krishna's appeared within his name. So that in any situation, just by chanting with attention, we can remember Krishna. And Krishna's within. Rupa Goswami says, when I'm chanting Krishna's name, Krishna's dancing upon my tongue. Krishna's entering into my ears, and I want millions of tongues and millions of ears. And when I'm conscious of that holy name, Krishna's dancing within my heart and conquers all unfavorable things, conquers my heart, conquers all my enemies, and ultimately conquers my love. That is the power of Krishna in his name. Dina hina yata chilo harinama udharilo thara sakshi jagai madhai. And the evidence of this, Thakur Narottam tells, is the story of Jagai and Madhai. They were like agasuras. They were Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha, demoniac, who engaged in so many abominable activities. They were murderers, they were thieves, they were rapists. They would slaughter animals and eat them right on the spot, cook them, drink their blood. They would kill old men and old ladies, Brahmins, anybody, indiscriminately. And they were extremely powerful. They were tantric yogis, black tantrics, who had tremendous powers. And nobody could say anything. Even the government just supported them. They were terrorizing people. But the power of the holy name. Srila Prabhupada emphasizes that what was Jagai and Madhai's qualification? That they became the object of the mercy of a Vaishnava, Nityananda Prabhu and Thakur Haridas. Because they became the object of the mercy of a Vaishnava, all hopes were there. But even though they were so offensive to Nityananda Prabhu, they repented. They seriously, in the core of their hearts, realized that they were wrong. They admitted their mistakes. And they begged forgiveness. And they begged for the Lord's mercy. And because they did that, and they took the holy name in that spirit, they became paramahamsas, perfected yogis of the highest order. How incredible. This is the power of the holy name. It kills the demoniac propensities within us. And that's what happened with Jagai and Madhai. Because they chanted the holy name in a humble state of mind. Of course, they were fortunate, seeing Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with the Sudarshan Chakra as anger personified made them humble. But more than that even, was Nityananda Prabhu was praying for them. And they're saying, here is the man that we... that Madhai is thinking, here is the man that I tried to kill. The man I smashed a pot on his head and called blood to profusely flow from him. And he's pleading for my life. Nityananda Prabhu, much logic he presented to Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya was so angry like Narasimha Dev. His eyes were red, Prabhupada says, like coals, hot coals. And the Sudarshan Chakra was right there, above him. And Madhai realized that I'm finished. What is he going to do? Pick up another pot? Nothing. Nityananda Prabhu presented himself as a simple preacher. But Mahaprabhu was presenting himself as the all-devouring, time-personified, supreme absolute truth. Nityananda Prabhu said to the Lord, please don't hurt him. But the Lord was so angry. Nityananda Prabhu was begging on his behalf. He said, actually, he didn't mean to hurt me. It was an accident. And besides that, it doesn't hurt. Honestly, it doesn't hurt. He accidentally hit me with this pot, but it doesn't hurt at all. I'm happy, so please don't hurt him. And that didn't work. So he said, actually, we have incarnated in this world not to kill the demons, but to kill the demoniac mentality within them. And if you kill these Jagai and Madhai, you might as well kill everyone else, because everyone is more or less Jagais and Madhais in Kali Yuga. But that didn't work either. Lord Chaitanya could not tolerate seeing his devotee treated like this. And then Nityananda Prabhu said, actually, Jagai,
Hare Krishna.
Jagai, Madhai was about to hit me again, but Jagai stopped him. Forcibly stopped him. And that worked. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became so happy, and he just turned away from Madhai and turned to Jagai and said, you have saved my devotee. He embraced him and gave him ecstatic love of God. Then he turned back to Madhai. And Madhai saw his brother, his cousin brother, was weeping in ecstasy. And he said, everything I've ever done, he did. And everything he did, I did. So if you give him ecstatic love, we have the same karma, give it to me. And Lord Chaitanya said, no, he saved Nityananda. You tried to kill him. You caused blood to come from him. He was pleading from his heart with repentance. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, if Nityananda Prabhu gives you shelter, then I will give you shelter. So he fell at the feet of Lord Nityananda. Nityananda Prabhu picked him up and embraced him and then presented him to Lord Chaitanya. Now Lord Chaitanya gave him the simple instruction he's giving to all of us, Jagais and Madhais. Give up this sinful mentality. Give up this enviousness. Stop committing offenses. And chant the holy names. And I will give you prema bhakti. Doesn't matter what you've done in the past, I will give you prema bhakti. Dina hina yata chilo harinamu tarilo thara sakshi jagai mara. That is the power of the holy name. They began to chant. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu looked at his devotees and he said, you cannot think of them any longer for what they've done in the past. Now they're chanting the holy names. I will prove to you that all their sins are finished. I will take them all myself. And Lord Chaitanya's beautiful golden form turned black. And Lord Chaitanya asked the Dvaitacharya, what are you seeing? And Lord Advaita seeing Mahaprabhu black with all the sins of Jagai and Madhai. And Advaita laughs and says, you look just like Shamsundar, Krishna. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, now everybody chant the holy names to make my body golden again. And where will all the sins of Jagai and Madhai go? They will enter into the hearts of anyone who offends Vaishnavas. And all the devotees started chanting, and Mahaprabhu turned golden again. And Jagai and Madhai were like two little boys from the most gruesome murderers, and they used, you know what their most favorite thing was? At night, lighting people's houses on fire and watching the people burn. Horrible people. But now, they were like little children, dancing with the devotees and laughing. And Mahaprabhu said, now you accept them as our own. They're now a part of our inner circle of devotees. Srila Prabhupada often cited this story to show the power of the holy name, the power of the mantra. It can kill all the enemies within us. Just as Bhrigu Muni, by chanting a mantra, is killing so many. But ultimately, it didn't work because they had offended Lord Shiva. But to skip way ahead in the story, eventually, through this whole story, Lord Shiva comes and really creates havoc. And Bhrigu Muni and his mantras and his ribus, they were powerless. There was nothing they could do, these poor little ribus. Vaishnava Parad is too much. So in the end, you know, Lord Shiva, and he created this Birbhadra, yes, this very big personality who cut off Daksha's head. And then ultimately, you know, everything by the powers of senior Vaishnavas who come to make things peaceful. They want to bring Daksha back to life. So they put the head of a goat on Daksha. Now, we were talking at the beginning of the class, and I'm about to end. How beautiful Daksha was. He was, even among the demigods, he was extremely beautiful. And when you have something materially opulent, the tendency is to become very attached to it. When you're beautiful, you really become attached to your beauty because people recognize you and honor you and everything else. I remember years ago, one of the most beautiful actresses in the world, I saw an article where she was now like in her 50s, and she attempted suicide. Why? Because she couldn't tolerate the fact that people would see her and she wasn't beautiful anymore. Because time has its way of changing things. And no matter how much money she spent, no matter how many cosmetics she put on, no matter how many exercises she did, how many spas she attended, she was ugly. And there was nothing she could do about it. It happens to everyone. That's Krishna's nature, material nature. It was intolerable. So here's Daksha, one of the most handsome men in the whole universe. And now he has the head of a goat. Now, if it was the head of a cow. But goats are just not considered. The only person who thinks a goat's beautiful is another goat. They're not even sure about that. Maybe they have no choice. Nobody else wants them, so the only way they can have, you know, an affair is with another goat, because nobody else will have them. Anyways, now he has a goat head. Can you imagine? You know, all the children, Daksha has a goat head. Extremely humiliating. But he was happy. Daksha was actually happy. Because he realized that this is what it took for him to humble himself and realize his envy and his mistakes. And he became very sober, and he actually respected, honored, and loved Lord Shiva, and was thankful for having his head cut off and being given a goat head, because he was cured from the disease of that envy. He begged forgiveness, and with all gratitude in his heart, carried on with the yajna. So Srila Prabhupada ends, in the present age of Kali, it is recommended by Lord Chaitanya that simply by chanting Hare Krishna one can attain all perfection. But how to chant Hare Krishna? So that we can access the complete mercy of the Lord who has appeared in his name. It is so important to understand Srimad Bhagavatam. When we read about the examples of the great personalities and the transformations of people's lives through bhakti in Srimad Bhagavatam, then we understand the spirit of what Vaishnavism really is. And then, simply by chanting this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, whoever we are, wherever we're from, whatever we've done, if we just develop this forgiveness, this humility, this service attitude, then Krishna, who is all-powerful, who has appeared and will always appear within his name, like he did here in Vrindavan to the demons, he'll free all the demons, rescue our soul, and give our eternal souls eternal residence in Sri Vrindavan. This is the gift that our beloved Srila Prabhupada has so kindly given to us. And Prabhupada has established Krishna Balaram Mandir in Sri Vrindavan town to attract people from all over the world to associate with genuine devotees. And in that association of true Vaishnavas, people can chant the holy names and become perfect. They'll know how. So this is the responsibility of all Prabhupada's temples. Srila Prabhupada said, in one purport he writes, the purpose of all of our temples is simply to give people the opportunity to associate with devotees. And this is especially true in Vrindavan. More than any other temple in the world, the whole world comes to Vrindavan. So whether we're pilgrims coming here, or whether we're residents living here, or whether we're Saivites doing seva here, it is our first and foremost responsibility to set the highest possible example. that will glorify Srila Prabhupada's name. And in doing so, that will induce the world to recognize the glory of pure bhakti, the glory of Vrindavan, and to chant Krishna's holy names and become perfect. Vaishnav Brinda ki
jai,
Harinam Sankirtan ki
jai.
Thank you very much.
His Holiness Radhanath Swami ki
jai.